Welcome this crisp morning to the services of the Lord's house, here to hear the word of God and receive the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of everlasting life. Let us begin our service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, O Day of Rest and Gladness.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, October 20th, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Brian Featon. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 906, O Day of Rest and Gladness. Hymn number 906 found in the Lutheran service book. Brian and Pam Featon are sponsoring the flowers on the altar today to the glory of God in memory of Brian's father, Robert Featon. Doug Rose, Deborah Leek, Deanna Hayes, and Mike Rose are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in memory of their grandparents, Harold and Rebecca Rose.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word.
With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments.
I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes.
With my lips I declare all the just decrees of your mouth.
In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches.
I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways.
I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Be to God on high. Be with you. Let us pray. O God, your divine wisdom sets in order all things in heaven and on earth. Put away from us all things hurtful and give us those things that are beneficial for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, It's from the book of Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 10th verse. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, shall he go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him. For this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them, and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil. This is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with the joy in his heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The catechetical review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the introduction?
Our Father, who art in heaven.
What does this mean?
With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that we with all boldness and confidence may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father.
The epistle reading from the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterwards in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and of discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to thee, O
Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished, and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. And many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 743, Jesus' Priceless Treasure, hymn number 443 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God." The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. Well, I think it's easy to admit, to confess, to say when it comes to church, it's easy to say, I'm not all that bad. I mean, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a decent fellow. It's just as equally easy to come to the conclusion that all that we proclaim here, all the sin and forgiveness, the law and the gospel, and so on and so forth, can get a little bit over the top, a little bit redundant, and maybe a little bit boring, and that there's something else that we could center our homilies and our time and our effort upon. Well, perhaps the disciples were in such a way, that kind of way, after the episode of the rich young man. And what did Jesus do? Jesus had to take them to school. You see, so far in Mark chapter 9 and chapter 10, there's been the discussion about who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And as it turns out, the greatest of the kingdom of heaven is the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven and the one who serves other people, the most utterly dependent, such as a little child. Then there's the issue of the disciples shooing away the parents of the young children. You remember the parents brought the little children to Jesus that he might touch them? And the disciples were like, just move along. Don't bother Jesus with the little ones. And Jesus says to them, "Now let the little children come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who, like a child, are helpless and lowly and unable to save themselves. That is, the poor in the spirit, those who trust emphatically in Jesus' work. Then we come across the rich young man who earnestly approaches Jesus. I mean, he's not a jerk or anything like that. He comes to Jesus most earnestly, and he's clearly concerned about his eternal life, and he's eager to do the works that he feels that are necessary to accomplish his goal of attaining eternal life. And the rich man comes to Jesus assuming that not only is there something he must do, but also that there is something that's within his grasp to be able to do that will get him eternal life. The rich man comes to Jesus as a teacher, a source of information. Instead, Jesus invites the man to see him as the source, not of information, but as the source of salvation. "What must I do?" And Jesus answer, "One thing you lack. One thing you lack." Jesus diagnoses the man's problem. Jesus identifies his false god. "One thing you lack? Sell all that you have, give the money to the poor, and come and follow me." Now, selling everything is not a universal condition of following Jesus. Of course, you know, we see in the scripture that Peter had a house. Remember, and Jesus was at Peter's house, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And, I don't know, the disciples didn't pick up random boats off the Sea of Galilee and row them across like, you know, some scooter in Chicago where you just pick it up and leave it and let somebody else take it back or something like that. They own these boats. They were their family's boats. They were their business's boats. So giving up everything you have, selling it and giving it to the poor is not a universal condition of discipleship. Jesus' comments to the rich man were specifically directed at him and his spiritual need. You see, the rich man's God needed to be demolished in order to make way for the true reign of God in Jesus Christ. The reckless sower, Jesus Christ, the reckless sower sows the seed and the man goes away downcast, choosing his own piety over following Jesus and being saved. What happened to the man? We don't know. I'm assuming Jesus' word did what Jesus' word does. It caused the man to be thinking. It simmered. It worked. And maybe the man came to faith later on in his life. Perhaps he came to faith. Perhaps Jesus remained to him a teacher. And he is left with the question, what am I still lacking? Jesus, we are told, looked upon this young man in love and care and concern. He wasn't out to crush the man, nor was he out to make an example of the man. Now what does Jesus do? He turns his emotions to the disciples. So this is the whole thing we see before our eyes. We see playing out before us in the words of the Holy Bible. We see this interaction with Jesus and the rich man. We see the rich man go away with his face downcast, you know, for he had great wealth. And then what do we see? We see Jesus looking around at his disciples, holding them by the eye, looking at each one of them. Maybe this took a minute. Maybe it took 20 seconds. I don't know. But he looked at him. He paid attention to him, looked him in the face. And he wanted to see what impression this encounter made on them. And with a heavy heart and a voice full of emotion, Jesus states how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Now here, of course, is where human nature kicks in. Because most of us don't view ourselves as having wealth. Most of us don't view ourselves as wealthy people. Matter of fact, all of us, everybody here, knows somebody who's richer than they are. Somebody who's higher up on the social scale than they are. Right? Human nature looks at others and judges them to be rich. They have more money. They have a nicer car, a bigger house, and so on. Human nature would say, others are rich, but not me. I'm just getting by. The others are rich thought, the others are rich comments brought the world some horrible things. It has brought the world the terrors of the French Revolution and unleashed upon the world the horrors of the gulags in Russia, in the Russian death camps during the Communist Revolution. Remember, in the Communist Revolutions, when all the people above you who have money more than you do are gone, you become the next target of the mob. That's what happens in that type of system. You become the rich, and it will be your turn to be persecuted. But for right now, let's not think about the evils of different political systems. Let's ponder the sneaky depths of envy that rest within the human heart. Think about it. To the single man, right? To the guy who's hoping to get married and have a family and spend the rest of his life with the woman that he loves. To the single man, the man with a girlfriend is rich. Rich beyond measure and richer than the single man's wildest dreams. The couple, to the childless couple, the couple that can't have children, as they cast their eyes around, the couple that has a baby has been granted that gift from God, that the womb has been opened and children have been granted. That couple is rich, rich beyond measure. And to the orphan orphan, those who have a family, are incredibly wealthy beyond measure. Now others, so you've got that idea of wealth and riches. It's not always lying in cash and money and stuff. And then there's these other folks that you might say something to this effect. When you die, right, are you going to go to heaven? And they might answer something like, well, I hope so. I hope so. Or are you going to go to heaven? Yes, I'm going to heaven. Why are you going to heaven? Because I'm a pretty good person. What is this setup? This setup, the idol of works, the riches of self self-worth, self-righteousness, self-work to get into heaven. Righteousness, works righteousness in the innermost being. And still others may not ponder this question at all, revealing a deep-set apathy towards the things of God. You see, what I'm getting at is that no matter where your wealth lies, wherever your wealth is, each form of wealth has something inherently dangerous about it. Each form of wealth has its own obstacles to be overcome, its idol to be smashed, in order that trust for salvation in Jesus Christ might reign in a person's heart. Well, this brings us to the simple question. If there's something inside of each and every one of us that can so easily get between us and the kingdom of God, then who can be saved? Can anybody be saved? And when those who have it all together are misplacing their trust for salvation, where does that leave me? Because I look in the mirror and I think, I don't have it all together. I'm struggling just to get by, struggling to keep my faith. Right? Me, who has a head full of doubts, me, who continues to commit sins, how is it possible for me to be saved? And what is Jesus' answer? Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, with men, impossible. Impossible. But with God. With God, all things are possible. The matter of salvation is beyond the reach of a fallen, sinful human being, to the extent that they can't make salvation happen. There is nothing, truly there is nothing you can do to be saved. But with God, all things are possible. Now we come to the why. Circle back to the beginning. Now we come to the why of confession and absolution. Now we come to the why of forgiveness in so many forms, such as baptism and the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar. Because these are salvation not by our actions, but in them is salvation by God's actions. God's actions of sending His Son to fulfill the law in our place. God's action of sending Jesus to be perfect in our place. Sending Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins, to be the object of our faith, that is, the object of all of our confidence and trust. All shows the greatness of God and how utterly dependent upon Jesus and upon Jesus' saving work each and every one of us is. The fact of the matter resides in this, that we are either weak and powerless like little children, able to say with the hymn writer, nothing in my hands I bring, only to thy cross I cling. And, or we are like the rich man, and we refuse to acknowledge our poverty of spirit and our need to be saved by grace alone. An encounter with Jesus of Nazareth lays our souls bare, and should bring us to the point where we come to realize our complete need and dependence upon Jesus. Here, in this place, in this house, we are reminded of the impossibility of saving ourselves, and we are reminded of our absolute reliance upon the God whom we worship. The Holy Triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to be the one who does the saving, to be the one who saves us. With God, all possible. With God, think about that, with God, all possible. With man, impossible. With God, all possibilities. In God, salvation comes for anyone and everyone, including those who are wealthy in any way, shape, or form. In Christ, God has broken into the world of sinners to establish that all of us are alike and that each and every one of us needs saved from sin. So let us examine ourselves. Let us cast down the idols that are in our lives. Let us get rid of them. And let us each find our true riches in Christ, in the cross of Jesus, and the life to come through faith in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And in the name of that Jesus, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen. Please rise for prayer. We pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O God, with us salvation is impossible, but with you all things are possible.
Protect us from all that would stand between us and following our Savior. And grant that we never turn away any form of our wealth, turn any form of our wealth into an idol. Give boldness to your church to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, by whose death and resurrection the way to your kingdom has been opened. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O Christ, specifically do we ask you to spare the servants of your church from the love of wealth and from fear of the difficulty of their task, that they would gladly set aside every comfort for your sake and for the gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, lead our households to find eternal rest in your Son and in his word. Give fathers and mothers diligence in teaching their children, and preserve us from all hardness of heart. Give us urgency to hear the good message of salvation today. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
When the righteous cry, you hear, O Lord, and you deliver them out of their troubles. Draw near to save the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit, the sick and those in need. Especially do we ask you to hear our prayers for Will Booth, whose cancer has returned and is now facing more surgery and more treatments. Lord, please endow Will with physical strength and spiritual fortitude for the days and months to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O God of all creation, who gives life in body, soul, and spirit, accept now the thanksgiving of Rod and Peggy Meyer for the birth of a grandson, Jake Allen Coughlin, born to Julie and Tyler. As mother and son are doing well, we ask you to continue to bless Jake with health and well-being, seeing to it that he comes to the waters of holy baptism, there to be made your child and heir of the heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Since we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, hold us fast in our confession through all temptation and preserve us from all sin. Give your blessing to all who draw near to your throne of grace, especially those who receive the blessed sacrament this day, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord God, our heavenly Father, your Son left his earthly home to do his saving work, and so he knows what it is to leave family behind. Comfort your children who have left home and loved ones for the sake of the gospel. Set them firmly into the family of the church and sustain them in the hope of eternal life in the age to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in His peace. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore You that of Your mercy You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and grant thee His peace.
The closing hymn is hymn number 850, God of Grace and God of Glory, hymn number 850 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Just a couple of announcements for you this morning. There is youth group this afternoon here at church from 4 to 5:45. That's junior high and senior high combined, Christian formation and game night. Bring a snack and a drink to share for that, and or a drink to share. There is a revised budget proposal that went out earlier this week, but copies of it are also on the gray shelf in the connector, the Walther Hall, right over there. It reflects a change in the base salary, so that is out there to be looked at by you, because there's a voters meeting this Tuesday at 7 p.m. in the auditorium. The voters meeting topics, it's election of officers, budget. We have a candidate for the custodial position that we have open to be considered. And nominations for the circuit visitor for the next 3 years. And I don't think I said election of officers. So election of officers also. So it is a busy time for all of us on Tuesday. Also, I see Mrs. Rage here, who'd like to give a report on the Fall Fest out at school last night.
Very good. Good morning, everyone. Just want to say thank you to everyone who supported our ZLS Fall Fest yesterday. Wanted to share, we served about 295 meals. Our pie and cake auction brought in just under $4,000, and collectively we put together with Cakewalk and other donations about $6,000. So that was a great turnout. We're really happy with the event. We also collected about $3,000 worth of year-long sponsorships, so we're tracking really well for our goals for the year, trying to raise $20,000 through the challenge committee. So just want to say thank you all for your support. It was a really great fellowship event. We had a lot of people stay longer than we'd seen them stay for a while, and I think some of that was due to all of the games and activities that the PTL provided. So it's a great day in the building. We hope that everyone comes and joins us for Pancake and Sausage on February 1st. So thank you.
Thank you. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.